like even Asia and Africa, and they're going to bring the kingdom. They're going to bring the love of Jesus to places. And I just feel like the Father wants you guys to know that there's no disappointment in him about you guys. Like, he's so proud of you. You guys are going to do great things. So that's simple, but I just felt to share that with you from the heart of God. A little bit more, Amy, I feel for you. I just feel that you hear the voice of God so clear, and I see you with children, not just your own, but others, and you're teaching them to hear God. You're teaching them like relationship with God, and they're gonna learn to hear how to hear God through your life, and it's gonna change the way they think about God, and it's so powerful. And out of you, I just see the strength and this authority in you, and I see you with young teenage men and that are lost, and you're able to bring the love of the Father to people. And really, even like the rebellious ones and the ones that don't know love, you know how to love people well. And so I just want to honor and bless you guys. Does that make sense to you? Like, do you understand? Okay, cool. I just want to encourage you guys anyway. Is that good? Good? Come on. Anyway, guys, so we've been here about a week now. I've been here a week and a half. And when I came last year, I was with Brian Brenchley, and the Lord stirred my heart for the Balkans. He stirred my heart for Macedonia. I was in Tetovo, and many people were telling me, it's hard here. It's hard to preach the gospel. You know, people are closed here. It's, Muslims don't want to listen to you. All this negativity. And I was like, Jesus, I believe you love this land. And I won't go into all the details, but in one day in Tetovo, I come down from I'm staying in the hotel. I come downstairs, and I begin to talk with the man behind the counter who's checking us out, and sharing the gospel with him. And he looks me in the eyes. He says, stop. He says, I've seen you before. I had a dream about you. I'm having deja vu in this moment right now. I've seen you before. And in that moment, the Spirit of God came on me. I had a gift of faith. And I looked him in the eyes. I said, Jesus sent me here for you, man. He loves you so much. And I grabbed his hand. I began to pray. And the fire of God went through his body. And he felt the love of Jesus. And I shared the gospel with him. And he said, no, I already believe in Jesus. I said, because I saw the Jesus video, the Jesus film. And ever since then, I pray to Jesus every night because I saw the love on the cross. And I pray to him every night. He was so open, I tried to lead him to the Lord to get him born again. But he's like, no. He's inside. He had an authentic faith in Jesus. And it did something in my heart. And I just want to encourage you guys that God is doing more than you think. He's working on people's hearts behind the scenes. And we need to understand, we need to take the blinders off our eyes that says, oh, it's hard. Things aren't happening. It is hard here. That is truth. But the greater truth is, who do we serve? Who's king? Is Jesus king or is the devil king? Jesus is king. Who's more powerful, the devil or Jesus? Jesus. And guess who lives inside of us? Jesus. So if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, then that should give us hope and should give us an authority and a boldness to really go out and preach the gospel and to see things happen. And so anyway, long story short, that day we saw a Muslim girl, 19 years old, give her heart to the Lord. She got born again. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw deliverances. It was just a powerful day. And at the end of that trip, my heart was, Jesus, this land, there's so many people that are bound. I mean, you guys know, you live here. There's so many people, they're bound in demonic chains, in darkness. But I believe we have the key to set them free. I believe we have the key to set them free. And so we've been here in Skopje the past week, and we've been preaching the gospel out on the streets, in the square, in the market, just everywhere we go. We're sharing the love and the power of Jesus with people. And I want to share with you guys some testimonies, just what happened, to inspire you. And as you listen to these testimonies, don't think team from America doing great things. Just see us as sons and daughters that have an understanding that the Spirit of God is in us, because you can do the same things. You're called to do the same things. You're called as sons and daughters to carry the Spirit of God and the power of God to this city and this country. So Justice, why don't you just come up? I'm gonna have Justice share a testimony, and then I'll share some too.
Hey guys, good morning. It's great to be here again. Thank you so much. Before I share, just become aware that when we share testimony, it's so that Jesus gets glory, but also that he can do it again, so that you can receive faith that he wants to do the same things through you. So I was, we were actually planning to preach the gospel in the main square, but it started to rain, So we gathered up and we prayed, and it took about 5 minutes or 10 minutes till the rain stopped. It was awesome. But in that meantime, me and David, we just saw these three skateboarding teenagers, and David ran over, and I immediately felt, oh, I need to go as well, and I just ran behind him, and we just started talking to him, to the kids, and we were just sharing that Jesus loves them, and we asked if any one of them had pain, and one of them, he really had problems with his knee, he tore it, or something happened, and we started just, we asked him, hey, can we pray for you? And he was like, yeah, who, what are you going to pray? And we just said, Jesus loves you and wants to heal you. So we prayed for his knee, and it got completely healed. He got free of pain. And then he was like, hey, actually, my other knee hurts as well. So we prayed for his left knee as well and got healed as well. And he was just flipping out, and he did a kick flip, really cool trick, with no pain. It was awesome. And then we just asked them if they actually want to feel the presence of God. So we just had them open up their hands, because what we have, we can give away. So we just said, Holy Spirit, come. And they started to feel just the touch of Jesus. And they're feeling the warmth in their heart. And these three kids, actually, we shared the gospel with them. And these three kids gave their hearts to Jesus on the spot. And just got born again. It was powerful, because it was just that one moment of God wants to touch these kids. So that one second of obedience and just taking the risk. And they were so thankful. And especially that one guy, he was really lost in the presence when we were sharing. So I just encourage you guys to just, when you feel that drive in your heart, to just share with someone, to just go for it. Because God really wants to use you. You're amazing in His eyes. Thank you, Jesus.
So good. Before I continue, I just want to honor Pastor Martin. And, you know, I haven't known him super long, only 2 years, but you guys have an amazing pastor. He's a man of God. He loves people. He loves the Spirit of God. And I just want to encourage you, be thankful for this man, because, you know, he's one of the people I met here that he's such a heart for revival, have a heart for the presence. And so I just want to honor you. Thank you for letting me come here. You know, I just encourage you guys really to honor your pastor. It's hard here. It's hard ground here. You know, it's hard to lead something here. And so, you know, be intentional about honoring your leaders and saying, hey, how can I encourage you? How can I help you? How can I build you up? Because, you know, the enemy is, I mean, the enemy, I talk with Brian and other people, the enemy really tries to take people out here. And, you know, as a body, we're called to unity. We're called to serve and to honor our leaders. So I encourage you guys, you know, just send them a text, you know, every Sunday morning. Hey, how can I help? Hey, thank you. Thank you for serving Martin. You know, you honor him. And as you do that, you actually set yourself up to receive from him more and to receive what God wants to give you through him, because he carries a grace on his life, because as your pastor, as your leader, and a grace for the love and the Spirit of God to flow through. So as you honor him, you're actually setting yourself to receive from Jesus and to receive more grace and more encounters with God. So I just encourage you, like, especially Martin, you really carry a lot, and I just want to honor you for that. So anyway, I just felt like I needed to say that. I feel like the Holy Spirit just wants you guys to know that. But all right, so this is what I want to share with you guys this morning, out of John chapter 4. And you guys know the woman at the well. You guys know that story, familiar? It's most of you know it, the woman at the well. And before I came, I was praying for the Balkans. I was praying for Macedonia and Greece. We're going there in a few days. And I was saying, Jesus, the spirit of intercession came on me. And I was just saying, Lord, would you bless this nation? Would you bless this land? Would you send revival? And I was just pouring out my heart to God, saying, Lord, you know, bring in the harvest. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, Mitchell, he said, I want you to, when you go, I want you to preach John 4, and I want you to tell the church that the Balkans is ready for the harvest. And in that passage, in the second part of the passage, Jesus says, you guys are saying 4 months more until the harvest, but I tell you, lift up your eyes and look, the harvest is ripe now. The harvest is ripe now. And I feel to encourage you guys that that though Macedonia and the Balkans, there's hard things here, I'm prophesying that it's time for the harvest. It's time for the harvest. We're not waiting for a move of God. We're not waiting for us God to come out of the sky and do something. We're not, you know, waiting for some sovereign move of God. He's placed his spirit inside of you, and he's looking for believers that believe. Believers that believe. Signs will follow those who believe. Who will believe God to say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe that signs will follow. I believe when I preach the gospel, and when I go after the presence of God, that something is going to happen, that we can shift the atmosphere in the city. We can shift the atmosphere in this nation. And with that, I feel that the Lord, he wants to encourage you that how are you going to see the harvest come? How are you going to see it come? You know, how did Jesus see the harvest in the Samaritan village when he went in there? He stopped for the one. He stopped for one woman by a well. And this is my point. That woman, she had everything against her. In that culture, there was no reason for Jesus to be talking to her. In fact, by him talking to her, he broke every single rule. Number one, she's a woman. Two, so her gender, we have her gender. Number two, her religion. She was different. Number three, her ethnicity, her people group. And number four, she's immoral. So she has, I mean, you can't get worse than this. Her religion, her ethnicity, her religion, and her morals. She's the lowest of the low. For Jesus to talk to her, for him to love her, for him to minister, he was putting himself in a very bad light. He was breaking every single cultural barrier that was in that time. And the disciples came back, why are you talking with this woman? But from Jesus showing his love and his compassion to her, a whole village heard the gospel and they came out and said, we believe that you are the Christ. And you know what? Not very many times in the scriptures does Jesus reveal himself as the Messiah. There's very few times. He's trying to hide it. But he finds this broken woman at the lowest part. And he says, at the very end of that first part of John, he says, I who speak to you am he. I'm the Messiah. You know, Jesus, a lot of times in the gospel, tries to hide himself, but when he's with the lowest of the low, he reveals himself. And what's the point? Is if we want to see a harvest, we're going to have to see people through the eyes of love. Through the eyes of love. Guys, right now, everywhere I go, this is what I see. Not with everybody, but with most of the church. They're Muslim. No, you can't talk to her. She's a woman. No, they're not open. And you have all these mindsets that's putting people in these boxes. And it's not that there's not truth to that. Yes, they're Muslim. Yes, there's truth to that. But when you see through the eyes of love, when you see through the eyes of Jesus, when you move in the spirit of compassion, it actually gives you authority to move past all that stuff and to bend low and to wash their feet without any shame. And yes, the world's going to look at you and judge you. And the religious and even people in the church are going to look at you and say, how can you do that? But you say, I'm moving in the same spirit that Jesus did. The same spirit that Jesus did. It's the spirit of compassion. Imagine if Jesus came to the well and can you even picture Jesus doing this, coming to the well and saying, you know what? She's immoral. She's a woman. I can't talk to her. Imagine Jesus doing that. Can you even think that? No. In love, he bent down. And you know, Jesus, you know, when he had that supernatural word of knowledge where he said, you've had five husbands and the man you're with now isn't even your husband. Do you know that in that moment, he wasn't calling out her sin. He was connecting with her pain. Why? Because in that culture, women could not divorce men. Only men could divorce women. So what was Jesus saying? He was saying, you've been divorced five times and the man you're with now isn't even your husband. He won't even marry you. And so what is he saying? He's saying, I see your pain. I see your rejection. I see your hurt. And I'm connecting with the deepest part of your heart. And her heart opened up and the questions that were inside of her, they came out. And one of the main questions in her heart was, why did the Jews worship in Jerusalem and us in Samaria? He unlocked something in her heart because he connected with her pain. That's the way Jesus ministers. That's the compassion of his heart. He wasn't calling out her sin. He was calling out her value because he saw her as a daughter of God. That's what I feel. They're not just Muslims. They're not just Orthodox. They're sons and daughters of God. They're sons and daughters of God. And when we see them through the eyes of Jesus with his heart by the Spirit of God, we can begin to treat people the way that God treats them. and their heart, not all the time, but their hearts will open up because they feel the love. You know, there was such a division between the Samaritans and the Jews, you know, such a division. But Jesus was able to cross that in one moment with one encounter and a whole village. Imagine, imagine a whole mosque, a whole mosque of, you know, we cross the lines in love and we minister in the Spirit of God. That's like a whole group of Muslims coming to the Lord, coming to the Messiah, because somebody learned how to see them through the eyes of heaven and to minister with honor and love and integrity. And I want to encourage you guys, that's what we're called to as the body of Christ, is to love our neighbors, to bring the Spirit of God to these people. I believe that God wants to do that in every church in the Balkans, and to empower the believers. It's time for not just the pastor, not just the missionary or whatever. It's time for every believer to understand that you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God that carries His presence to the people. So, is this making sense? You guys understand? Sorry. But in order to love people the way that we're called to, we first have to understand His love for us. His love for us. The Bible says, "Love your neighbor as yourself, as you love yourself." You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. You can't love your neighbor. You can't love the city if you don't first have that encounter with Jesus. If you don't have that love encounter with Him. And so, you know, one of my main things I want to encourage you guys this morning is that God loves you. It's really simple, but He loves you so much. God's not mad at you. God's not standing over you, you know, seeing if you're getting everything right. He loves you so much. He's proud of you. He wants you to have an encounter with His love. It's when you encounter the love of the Father, it sets you up to become an encounter. So you're no longer just, you're trying to love people or you're trying to share the gospel, but it's just who you are. And it flows from you naturally. And it all comes from an encounter with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God. And so I just want to share a few stories what does this look like and what is God doing in the city? I just want to share my testimony really, really quick. When I was, you know, I grew up in the church, since I was born. I grew up in a good family. I went to church every Sunday. I led the worship. I was a good Christian kid. You know, never had a time where I rebelled, none of that. But I had so much insecurity inside me. I had so much fear, even depression. I didn't know the love of Jesus because I read the Bible and I heard the sermons and I sang the song, but I never had contact with the Spirit of God. If you don't have contact with the Holy Spirit, you're in religion. And religion is death. Religion brings death. Relationship with the Holy Spirit brings life. When I was 20 years old, I was in this service. And for the first time, the Holy Spirit touched me. And the pleasure of God went through me. It was like this light went off inside me. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And the thing that impacted me the most was I realized that God is so pleased with me. And I just felt His pleasure go through my body. I felt it physically. And I felt His heart for me. He said, "Mitchell, I'm so pleased with you. You're my son." And suddenly, for the first time in my life, I felt unconditional love. And I felt this like the pleasure of the Father. And it set me free from insecurity, depression. For 2 hours, I was just laughing because I just felt this joy. Like, God loves me. And it was, in that moment, He also called me. He gave me my life verse, which is Luke 4. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind." He said, "Mitchell, my pleasure is on you. The same things that I did, you can do." And, you know, I grew up my whole life in the church and no one ever told me that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead was in me and upon me and that I could do the things that Jesus did. And so I took Him at His word and I said, "Lord, if this is the way you feel about me, I'm going to give you everything." And the past 6 years, I've had the privilege to see the most incredible things: cancer healed. I've seen blood diseases healed. I've seen scoliosis, just incredible things all over the world. And it all came from that one encounter when I experienced the pleasure of God. that pleasure of God. And it led me into a lifestyle of relationship with Jesus where I connected with his spirit and he empowers me to do things. And so anyway, guys, this is for you. Like I just want to encourage you guys as you go home today, pray and say, Jesus, give me the gift of hunger for your spirit. Give me the gift of hunger because there's so much more. There's so much more. Anyway, I just want to share a few stories for just what's happened the past week here. What have we seen the Lord do? And we went to the market. This would have been on Wednesday morning. We were in the market. Jamie was there and some others. It was the Green Market over by the Parliament Building. You guys know where that is. And I was with my friend, and we're just talking with people and praying for people. And I look. This woman walks up to us, and she says, "Hey, I've got pain in my shoulder." And she had arthritis in her shoulder and pain in her whole body. So we're like, "Well, can we pray for you? We believe Jesus can heal you." And she was like, "Yeah, of course." She's very open. So we just lay our hands and we say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And the power of God went through her. She felt something in her body just whoop, goes right through her. Instantly, all the pain's gone. And she's like, huge smile on her face. She's just like beaming, just like, "Oh, thank you." She like gives us hug and kisses. And we say, do you know Jesus? And she's like, yeah, I know Jesus. But we shared the gospel with her. We said, "Do you have relationship with Jesus? Does he live inside of you?" Because many people here, they know Jesus, but they don't have that relationship with Jesus. So she's like, No, I just know about it. Like, I just know about him. I said, "He healed your body because he wants relationship with you." And she's like, "I want relationship with Jesus." So in that moment, we led her to the Lord. Very simple. And she got born again right there. She felt the power and spirit of God go through her. And after that, my friend's like, I feel I should open air preach. And I'm like, "Go for it, man." There's probably 20 people like in that little area, maybe 20, and people passing through. So he just stands up and he says, "Hey, listen." He's like, "This woman just got healed of pain." He said, "Jesus is here in the market right now. Jesus is here in the market. Who has pain in their body?" And everyone's like, looking at us like, everyone goes quiet and they're like, no one's, and then he shares the gospel. He's like, "The same Jesus that healed people in the Bible, he's here today. And if you let us pray for you, you're going to experience the power and the healing of God." And I'm there recording like, "Jesus, help us." Jesus. And I'm a little bit nervous. But as I'm recording, I felt the atmosphere shift. Suddenly faith came and I realized something could happen in this moment. And for the first 30 seconds, people were like, after he was finished, people looked at us like, but then one man came up and he said, "If I didn't believe Jesus couldn't heal me, I wouldn't come up and embarrass myself in front of everybody." This man had pain down his leg, pain in his knees and pain in his back for many years. And my friend prayed for him in the name of Jesus. It took us about 5 or 10 minutes, but in about 5, 10 minutes, this man is healed. He's walking in front of everybody. He's walking around. He's like, "The pain's gone. The pain's gone." And for the next half an hour, people are lining up. We pray for 5, 6 people for pain in their body. These two women walk up to us. One of them's Muslim and one of them is a Christian. I don't know why they were together, but they just walked up to us and they were like, "Hey, can you pray for us?" And I was thinking about that. Lord, why did they walk up to us? And he said, "Mitchell, they saw the light on you guys. They saw the light on you. They saw the love on you." And even though they didn't know what it was, they said, those people have something for me. And we were able to prophesy, and this Muslim lady had pain in her shoulder, like a nerve, damaged nerve. And I just laid my hand on her shoulder. I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. All the pain left in an instant. She was completely healed. I said, "Jesus loves you so much." And the other lady was a believer. We prophesied. I said, "There's something going on in your family. There's something wrong with your husband." She's like, "Yes, he's going through depression." I said, "God's going to touch him." And she just begins to cry as the love of God touches her. And we saw in about half an hour, we saw two people give their lives to Jesus. The first lady, and then another man came up. He had pain in his hands. We prayed for him. Power of God went through him. And my friend led him to Jesus. And he got powerfully born again. And guys, this happened in Skopje. This didn't happen, you know, in Africa. In this is your city. People are waiting for love. People are waiting for the Spirit of God to touch them. And I just want to share this last story. Because this is so powerful. We leave the square and we go around the corner and I see this man there and he's sitting on the ground. He's a Roma young man, probably 17 or so. And he's got a bandage around his head. And I felt compassion for him because his eye is swollen. He's got this bandage. And I leaned down. I said, hey, what's going on? And he said, I got hit by a car. And I think he had a concussion. That's probably what it was. It was bad head pain, just throbbing and stuff. And I said, man, I believe in Jesus. He can heal you. Can I pray for you? And while this is happening, this other guy walks up. Now, this might freak some of you out, but this is the reality. This other guy walks up and he begins to talk to us. He says, I'm Muhammad. I said, is that your name? He's like, no, I am Muhammad. Like, the Muhammad. Like, from years ago, I'm like, man, you're crazy. And I was like, who is this guy? You're crazy. He's like looking in our eyes. He's like, I'm Muhammad. He's like, and he begins to curse us. He was possessed by the spirit of witchcraft. After the beginning, he did witchcraft. He did like really intense stuff, and he was cursing us. And the righteous anger of the Lord came on me because I was ministering in compassion, and this man that was devil possessed came up and was cursing us and saying, I can prophesy. I'm more powerful than you. And I stood up and I looked him right in the eyes, and I said, if you're more powerful than me, heal this man. I said, but you can't. I guarantee you can't. But I looked him right in the eyes and I said, my God is more powerful than your God, and I'm going to heal this man. And my friend took him aside, began to pray for him, and the fire of God went through him. And I turned back to this man and began to pray for him. And this man begins to just, Spirit of God comes on him. This heavy peace comes on him. And he just for like a couple minutes, he's just like, he's out under the power of God. He gets completely healed. All the pain in his head is gone. That's pretty cool, huh? And I stand up, I'm like, take that, devil. I'm like, sit down. I'm like, Jesus is king. And some of you may think that's silly, but when you know who you are, when you know the power you carry, you can look devils in the face and say, no, not here. And I end up sharing the gospel with this man, and he gets born again. I pray for him. He feels a wind of the Spirit. He feels it come up, like just the wind come all around him. He feels a wind inside of his heart. And I said, man, that's like John 3. The wind blows where it pleases. And I said, there's an opportunity right now for you to be born again and have a brand new life. And he was like, I want that. And I led him to Jesus. He got powerfully born again. He felt the Spirit of God come inside him. And you know, the most important thing was he felt the love of the Father. And I said, man, before you were an outcast, now you're a son of God. Now you're a son. Before you weren't in the family, now you're in the family. And I just want to encourage you guys, there's so many people out there that I know many of you minister, many of you, you know, you guys are doing a great job, but I feel to encourage you that there's power available for you. There's a power available where you can minister to people in the love and the compassion of Jesus. Where they look at you and say, what do you have? Say, Jesus, the Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. And this isn't just us, you know, it's not just, you know, we're not just charismatic people, you know, that feel the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. This is the way that Jesus walked. So don't think, you know, that charismatic stuff, it's not for me. Don't think, I'm not that bold. No, your identity is found in who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? That's who we're called to be. So, does that make sense? I just want to encourage you guys. About how long, what time is